Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
All right, welcome, Coach. How are you today?
Absolutely amazing.
I know, summer's ending.
Summer's ending.
Football season's, football's coming around, baseball's ending up. Hopefully the Cubs make the World Series. No,
people are going, actually got back from Chicago.
I know,
that long ago.
I know people are going, doesn't Coach Collins live in Wisconsin?
And I know, I'm so confused when I see that hat. Yeah,
it's a disease. I just tell people being a Cub fan is a disease. It really is. All right, go ahead.
You're not closer to Chicago than you are Milwaukee, are you?
No.
Milwaukee's 45 minutes, isn't it?
No, so I'll tell the 30-second story on this. My dad grew up in northern Wisconsin in the 40s, and the only station he could get was WGN. First of all, there was no Brewer, there was no team in Wisconsin, and he got WGN on the radio, so that's what he what he listened to. And then, you know, it's a disease; you pass it on from generation to generation.
Well, my son's a Packer fan because I obviously grew up in Wisconsin. So
I know. I won't tell you. I'm going to opening day.
At Soldier Field. Oh, at Soldier Field. Yeah.
They open up on the 9th or something. I know it's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Hopefully, one of my players makes the Bears. Jarice Fountain, he's a receiver. So hopefully, he makes it. He's kind of been in and out of the NFL, but hopefully, he makes it so he can see him play. All right. So today we're going to talk about the five keys to planning a youth basketball season. So what's the first one, Coach? We're going to go through these five steps. Step one is what?
Just setting your vision.
Framework.
Framework for your vision. Yeah. And your framework for what do you want to accomplish in the season? And I think it starts with, who are you as a coach? Like, what do you believe in? Are you offensive minded, defensive minded? Are you a type of, you know, do you like run or you like to slow things down? I think it's just important to write that down on paper.
Right. Well, and I think it's like I always say, it's who, what, where, when, how, but what do you want? What do you want to be? What is your specific vision? What do you want these young women or young men to get out of the season? You know? Mm-hmm. Because it's different. Maybe a second grader is going to be different than an eighth grader.
Right.
But what are the objectives? What are the metrics for, you know, is it just that everyone gets to play? Is it that you win your rec league? Is it that, you know, you win more games than you did last? Whatever your vision or philosophy is, I think is important to dive into.
Because that's going to set the stage for everything else. The drills you pick, right? The offense, the defense, how, you know, do you even worry about a press depending on what age group you're in? And then even just what you as a youth coach, a lot of times you only have an hour practice. What are you focusing in on that hour?
Right.
Right. Well, okay, this is what I'm going to focus on because I already set my vision. I know I only have that. And again, you know, the difference, I'm a youth coach, you're a high school coach, you know, you're going to spend a lot more time than I am going to on this, but just even if going through the extras and writing that stuff down is important.
Well, when I would coach my kids, it was like, okay, so I've got two practices. I'm going to have five practices before our first game, you know, what do I need to have in? I need that out of bounds play. I need a press break. I need an offense, you know, all of those things on top of, you know, making sure the parents know when things are happening, you know, when we're playing a schedule, you know, the practices maybe will change because, you know, there's a snowstorm, things that happen during a specific season. It's all of those planning things that are, you know, as a youth coach, you just, you're juggling a lot of, a lot of different things.
Well, and I think you the one thing you want to highlight what you just said too, is that communication to the parents, because if they know what my vision is, then they're not going to, well, they still will yell, but, or complain, but maybe a little bit less, because they know, look, I have an hour. This is what I'm going to be focused on throughout the entire season. This is what I believe in. And these are the three things that I'm going to teach these kids. Okay. Right. Oh, so you're not, why aren't they pressing? Well, it's not what I believe in.
Right. Or we haven't had time to put it in.
Right. So they can't complain in the stands as much if they kind of know the direction you're taking the team in.
Okay. So that's number one. Number two is tryouts.
Tryouts, evaluations, however you structure yours.
And that's hard.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you know, if you don't know who you're looking for, because it, you know, if you don't have your vision set and the type of player a little bit in your head, sometimes we don't have a complete choice, but we do have that. I know in our league, you know, we get a number one draft pick. Well, my number one draft pick should fit my vision, you know. If he's going to be defense minor, you know, this kid can score a lot, right?
Right.
But go ahead. What were you going to
say? No, so what I'm saying is there's two different types of tryouts, too, that I've been through. Like, I've been through the ones that I have to run the tryout and I have to evaluate. And then there's the ones that I just get to sit back and, you know, take notes. And so I think you have to there's so many variables that you have to look at. Can they handle the ball? What kind of teammate? Like, so it's so much, I think it's so much harder when you're running it and evaluating than when you're just evaluating. I don't know.
Well, and also what pieces do you need, right?
Right.
When you're assembling a youth team, and if you do have a draft, sometimes, you know, but sometimes coaches don't, they just, here's your team. You get this, you get what
right,
you get.
Right.
But let's assume that you do have, you get to pick a little bit, right? Have some, you have some determination on what that team looks like. I mean, I don't know about you, but number one, I'm picking someone who can handle the ball, period.
Yes.
Even if they're not a great shooter, the youth level, if they can get the ball across half court, that's a plus. Number two, I'm looking then, I'm like, okay, I don't care if the kid sits in the corner, but man, he is lights out shooting. Right now, obviously, it's nice to have a ball handler and a shooter, right? That we can do everything, but a shooter, you know, somebody that can play defense really well. And then sometimes their size, right? You kind of want them bigger kids, but, you know, again, that always doesn't work out that way. But a couple of people that can handle the ball, a couple of people that can shoot halfway decent. And then you're going to have your eighth and ninth kid, right? Especially in rec leagues that, hey, they're just there to have fun, and you get what you get, and you got to do the best to turn them into great players. But I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like I think the factor is like you have to think about, like, so there's actually three options, because you're right, you could be given a team, and then how do you make those pieces kind of work? So even if you don't have a tryout, you have to move those specific pieces. But the younger the age, ball handling is number one. To be honest with you, as they get older, ball handling is still important, but then other skill sets as far as like shooting and passing and strength and knowledge of the game. So I think it's kind of an inverted curve there a little bit with what's important. But I
and watch goes, out for those kids who play soccer, because they're not coming to basketball practice. Sorry.
But soccer players always see the court really well.
Oh, they're tremendous athletes. Yeah. Just in my I'm tongue in cheek on that one. I just had experiences where I pick them as my number one draft pick, but it's also soccer season in the fall, and or they're on a travel team. You know,
commitment level is important too, and it's a little bit easier as they get older to kind of figure that out with the parents and stuff too. All right.
Well, hold on. One more thought on that is, you know, more and more coaches, I hear this, they're picking the kids based on their parents as well, right?
Oh, I agree.
Great athlete, 100%. Bad attitude for their parents. You're going to, you know, prioritize that person. So something to consider. I hate to even have to bring that up, but it's true.
Oh, it's so true. All right. So, so number one was kind of the framework. Number two is tryouts. You're figuring out how you're going to pick your run your system. Step three, or the third key is kind of figuring out like your systems, like your, you know, your offense, your defense, you know, how you're going to integrate those. What's your thoughts on that? And especially it's going to be different, obviously, between a third grader and an eighth grader. But
yeah,
what's your thought on that?
Well, and yeah, and it goes back to your philosophy, right? And so what we set up in the beginning, it's really important to pick, you know, yeah, if you're in a youth level, let's pick an average youth team, not an exceptional one and not a really bad one. But, you know, most what I've been seeing, you know, you're doing a five out or a four out, one in, right? And keep it simple. And I wouldn't worry so much about the offense that you're running, but more about the concepts that you're teaching. Okay, what does that mean? Well, don't be so strict on the rules of a complete five-out offense. So, you know, we have these,
right.
I came up with all these ABCs, right? So remember the ABCs, right? Always be cutting and screening. That really is a five-out off, works really nicely in a five-out offense. But when that offense breaks down, the kids need something, they need to know what the next step is. You don't want them to think too much. So after you pass, you cut. So set those rules and make it simple. Three or four things max that you do in your offense.
And I think you got to do that both on the offense and the defense. Like That's if you're correct. Playing a basic man, you know, what are you doing? Are you pushing baseline? Are you, you know, are you no middle? Are you pack line? Are you running a zone? Whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, again, if you're having 5 days a week practice and 1 day a week practice is different. But I think you got to break those systems down. You got to analyze, you know, what I try to do too, is I try to take that first practice and figure out what I got. Because trials is one thing. And then it's like, okay, we've got some ball handlers, or we've got some kids that have played before. We have some kids that don't play before, or, you know, because that's going to correlate to your, you know, your walkthroughs, your demonstrations, how you're going to teach things, how, you know, what kind of offense you can run, what kind of defense you can run, how you will break the press. You got it. Like, so either given the team or tryouts, you got to, I always say that first practice should be kind of a deep dive into your team, do some passing drills, shooting drills, do some, just to kind of like, all right, this is better than I thought, or this is worse than I thought, just to kind of analyze it. But I think all those systems are important, but you got to know what you're, you know, you got to know the ingredients that are sitting on the kitchen table before you make the soup. You know, you can't just, you know, start making the soup and not have enough onions.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's funny though. Yeah. I go into it with a basic, very high level thought of what I want to do. So literally just did this, had eight players, and I ran them through the basic offense, just really basic. And then for me, that I'm just like, do they get it? And let's see what they do. And then that's where I kind of start asking them questions, even at the young level. You know, obviously the questions are, you know, based on their age level, what you should be teaching them at that age level. But this was seventh and eighth grade. So I asked them, okay, I ran you through the basic set on offense. We did the same thing at defense. So on offense, I asked them, where do you see the opportunities? Like, where do you see other things off of this? What are the reads, right? And they listed one, two, or three things. So I want them to think about it.
Yes.
On the defensive side, I showed them my basic defensive scheme. And then I asked them, where are the holes? Where are the gaps? What's going to happen? And I don't mean what's going to happen in every scenario, but just as a generic, at a high level, like, where do you see this not working? And where do you see opportunities for, and what do we really have to focus on in order to be good? Right. Yeah. And you'd be surprised, you know, kids will come up with those answers. Oh God, you know, we really need to be, you know, halfway between our player and the ball on the weak side. or right. otherwise there's going to be a big gap there. Like, oh,
right.
Yeah, perfect.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to do that with a kindergartner, but
hard to do that with a kindergartner. Yes. So
when we're talking to you, coaches, we're being teachers 101, coach. We're not talking to the kid that's going to Harvard, and we're not talking to the kid, you know, reading three grade levels below where they're supposed to.
But, and you're not going to run an offense in kindergarten. So you're going to run concepts.
Yes, that's a whole.
After
that's
you another, pass, you cut. Yes,
that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. That's right.
All right. Number four. So that was framework, tryouts, offense, defense, kind of your systems.
Yeah.
Number four is probably what we get asked the most often about, which is practice planning. Mm-hmm. I know you're the guru with practice planning. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, it boils down to, you know, obviously you have to have all of those things set before and know what you're going to do, right? Because otherwise you're not going to be able to put a good practice plan together. But I think off of that, you know, you kind of want to understand.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Think about the design of think about the elements in a game, right? There's offense, defense, there's transition to offense and transition to defense. And you have to cover all of those four things.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And if you cover all those four things in that's how you should block schedule your practice plan. And then within those blocks, then you break them down into drills. Then those drills, 5 to 8 minutes, right? And then you got to back and do I have a 60-minute practice once a week? Do I have two? Do I have a 90-minute practice? Whatever it is, then, you know, you can time those appropriately. And this goes back to your philosophy. Well, you know what? I'm a big transition to offense guy, so I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that, right? So I'm going to have more minutes spent on that. Or I'm a really big defensive person, so I'm actually going to spend more time on defense than I am on offense. Does that make sense?
It does. There's a nuance to it a little bit.
There is.
Because...
Well, and I think that coaches take it for granted too. Like the practice plan is the most important thing you're going to do all season.
It's unbelievable. From a teacher, from someone that's taught for 36 years or whatever. I lost count, to be honest with you. But it's like if I don't have a lesson plan, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
It's bad news, man. Like, and I'm teaching, you know, 17, 18 year olds. It's like I got to have a plan. Like
that's right.
You know what I'm, you know, and I'll give you a hint on practice planning for the youth coaches that are listening. It's better to have more than less.
That's right.
Because I can always do it the next practice. I can always do it the next class period. I can finish it tomorrow. But the worst is when you get done with everything you have planned with 20 minutes to go in class.
Or I would say is, well, something isn't working.
Right.
And you're into it 2 or 3 minutes. You're like, okay, this is on me. I need to go back to the lab and figure this out because it's not translating. They're not getting it. I better have something else in that spot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's better. It's like I, you know, always come in with a couple shooting drills, or I always come in with a couple things because, you know, it's. I hate to use the word pivot, but you got to pivot. You got to monitor and adjust. You got to monitor and adjust is what I learned. I learned Madeline Hunter when I learned teaching. You got to monitor what's going on, and then you got to adjust it. And both of those things happen. All right. So that was number four is practice planning. Number five, the last one, it's kind of game management. And you know, I think of game management as the before the game, during the game, and after the game. What's your thought on that, coach?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think all of those are three very important keys to having a successful season and managing the game correctly. You know, it's funny, my team, the last youth team I had, I said, hey, show up an hour before the game. They all kind of groaned at me a little bit. And I'm sure I got the parents were probably in the background groaning a little bit too. But what two things I knew. One is they're still, we're going to be late, right? So if I said, show up 30 minutes before the game, then they're showing up 15 minutes. So if I at least set an hour, they'll at least show up 45 to a half an hour before the game.
Right.
That was important, not only for me, because then I knew how many people are actually going to be playing right. that day, but also for the kids. It settles them.
It does.
They get those pregame jitters out prior. They get time to be with their friends and talk, and I get time to communicate and maybe work out any last minute questions.
Right.
A lot of lessons taught in that pregame.
Oh, right? It's the warm up. It's the, well, first of all, physically, it's important. From someone that's getting older, it's like, I got to loosen.
Don't put your old body in this.
I got a little plantar fascia walking to the red line and to jump on the L. It's like I walked in my sandals. I should not have done that. I'm stretching my plantar fascia or whatever it is on the bottom of my foot. But anyway, but you got to stretch. It's like all that. I think it's important physically. I think it's important mentally. It's important for the coaches, all of that. It's more of that connection. And then that leads into the game part of it.
That's right.
Where now I have their attention for timeouts. I have their attention on substitutions. I have their attention on, how we're kind of running the bench and, how the rotations are going in the middle of July or whatever we're doing or whenever we're coaching our youth team. And then
tell me about a timeout though.
What?
How do you manage a timeout?
How do I manage a timeout?
Yeah. What would you say? When do you call it? When are you thinking about calling a timeout? What do you do? What do you say in that timeout?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I usually take 15 seconds to gather my thoughts if it's a full timeout, which is a minute. And then I'm kind of reading the specific situation at that point. Am I calling it to change momentum? Am I calling it because we're doing well? Am I calling because we need a rest? Because I have six people and no one else has showed up and we're all tired. So there's different reasons for the timeouts. But then I have read that at most two things, ideally one thing in the timeout, but at most two, and the most important one should be the last thing they hear when they're walking out of the timeout. Because that's what they're going to remember. It's TikTok, people. It's TikTok. Their attention spans. So if it's like getting back on defense or blocking out, let's say one of those things, I'm going to say that to them more than one time. And I'm going to definitely say it to them at the end and as they're leaving. But that's kind of how I run my timeouts. I think timeouts are there's a pivot there. It just matters how, what's going to happen. And then what about post game? What are you doing post game, coach?
So post game, I have the players recognize something that another player did. Because I think that, again, talks about being a team and they're not focused on themselves. They're focused on someone else and giving a gift, right? So that's one thing. And I do a quick recap. And it depends on the level, right? Again, your third grade, I still do that exercise. Hey, whose game did you like and why?
Right.
And, why did you like it? And then I'll say a couple positive things and say, hey, okay, next practice, we need to get a little bit better about, X, Y, and Z.
I sometimes at the youth level even grab the parents and say, hey, let's come in. Let's talk about, remember, we have practice on Tuesday and we have this. And it's like it's the community that we're trying to build. We're running out of time here, coach, but let's talk about coaching youth hoops masterclass. I want you to dive into that.
Yeah.
And how that's related. Let me go through the five things we talked about.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, three
framework, right? We talked about tryouts. Yeah. We talked about offense and defense or kind of planning it out. We talked about practice planning and we talked about game management. Why are those important, coach?
Well, yeah. And this is how you're going to kick off your season and do it right and have a successful season at the, at the end, looking back. But we just give you a glimpse. There's a lot more detail that goes into planning a season.
Yes.
And that's why we decided to put the, masterclass together. And you can go take a look at it at coachingyouthhoopsmasterclass.com. Again, coachingyouthhoopsmasterclass.com. We're going to dive deep into each of the five subjects we just talked about. You'll have access to worksheets. So you can, create your vision. We're going to show you how to create a practice plan, how to create drills within that practice plan, basically everything you need to
start get ready for the season. I'm excited because a couple of those topics I'm going to get in front of a whiteboard and coach in front of a whiteboard. Coach in front of a
whiteboard. Look out.
Pretty cool thing. Let me tell you. Not sitting in my office behind all my Disney stuff. I'm going to be in front of a whiteboard kind of helping.
Right.
You know, and Coach and I are going to kind of batter back and forth and talk about some specific things. But
I think what's important too is how we broke it up. It's over. Yeah. We didn't want to, you know, you can take it all at one time, but it is over 5 days, 30 minutes to 45 minutes max to do each exercise. So it's broken. Or you could, like, you know, take a Saturday and sit down and do the whole thing. But we wanted to make sure that, you know, you can get through the exercises in a limited amount of time. Again, remember, this is for youth coaches.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade, you know, six through that 14 age group, you know, we don't go in depth, you know, go to, you know, like you might do at the high school level.
That's teach hoops.
Yeah.
Right. But coaching youth hoops, masterclass.com. I will put the link down below. So if you're listening to this or watching this or doing whatever, I'll put the link down below, but coaching youth hoops masterclass, we're limiting it because Coach and I, first of all, are 90 days away from our basketball season starting. So we can't take 6,000 people into this. So we're going to limit the number. So coaching
you. Yeah, we want to be there to help you.
Yes.
Right. So yes. You can be there as a resource. So yeah, we can only
do so much. There's only two of us. There's only two of us. All right. Anything else, Coach?
That's it, coaches. Thanks for listening and good luck planning your season. We're here to help.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.